Good morning. It's good to see you here today. Over the last several weeks, in fact, this is the sixth installment, we've been looking at this theme, just taking a walk or following Jesus. Been looking at discipleship. Is that, after all, what was His command to us? Go and make disciples. And I hope you remember Rick's first sermon in the series, those weeks ago, as he introduced the series for us, and he described what a disciple is and what a disciple does. What we've been trying to do is to give you those practical applications. And basically, we've picked out about eight different things that we're looking at. We saw Bible engagement. I preached on that. Getting into the Word. Let me tell you, nobody around the world that calls themselves a Christian and is walking with God is not in the Word. Just doesn't happen. Got to be in the Word. And if you hear a preacher or a teacher denigrating the Word, that's the one you turn off. Okay? So the Word, getting involved with the Word. Then the next week, Rick followed it up with obedience, that we've got to deny self and follow Christ in obedience. And in our culture, that sometimes is we see them as separate things, but there's no such thing as following Jesus and not obeying Him and doing what He says. Then the next week, Dane looked at service, serving God. What does service look like? And he described a lot of areas in our church where servants are needed. And let me tell you, we still need servants. This is a volunteer organization. This is a volunteer organism. Because organizations tend to be dead, and organism is live. But we need you. We need all the parts working, from children, everything that goes on here, and we're so appreciative of all the things that you do. I don't think some of you have a thorough appreciation of just what it takes from an army of people just for this to happen on Sunday, and for what to happen during the week in our life groups and all those things that happen. Well, then last week, Rick talked to us about sharing Christ with others, and that being a dynamic and organic part of our lives as you follow Jesus and make disciples. And I want to challenge you about that today. Look at the people in your life right now that need Jesus. Where are they going to hear about Jesus, if not from you? Now, today, John, if you'll put up our screen. Today we're going to talk about exercising your faith. Does your faith need some exercise? I'm going to tell you about a great failure of mine as we begin today. I was a pastor of another church here in town. Years ago, we had been in seminary. Was our first church out of school, and had gotten to know this family that was in our church. The lady, she was very active. In fact, she's still living. She is a great gal. Was an encouragement. She started bringing her husband with her on Sunday mornings, and for some reason, he and I clicked. Yeah, you just kind of have this thing with certain people. You just click. They speak. You speak one another's language, and this rocked on for a while. And I knew this guy was kicking the tires. I knew he was thinking about this thing, following Jesus, what it meant, what it looked like. He'd had some religion in his life, but he was being challenged at the time that he needed Jesus. It was like, because at the time in that church, we had a number of young adults that were were coming to Christ. I mean, right out of the world. Most of the baptisms that were taking place were not with children. They were with young adults at that time. That's quite unusual. This guy went in the hospital. It was a planned surgery. It was a minor surgery he was having. The night before, the Lord told me that you need to talk to him about me. And you need to talk to him before he goes under the knife. Now, it was a minor surgery. So I beat it down to the hospital, there in his room. Listen, up to at that point, I'd shared the gospel with many, many, many people under many circumstances. Cold call, going door to door, going out on the beach, all kind. But for some reason that morning, I couldn't pull the trigger. I talked to him about everything else, but the most important thing that he needed to hear that morning, which was, hey, are you ready to close the deal with Jesus? I thought, well, you know, I'm moving along with him, and I'm setting myself in perfect order here to share the gospel with, except for one problem with that. That isn't what God had told me the night before. I was disobedient. Decided not to exercise my faith and step out, because there were other people in the room and all, and it would have been, you think, oh, that might have been embarrassing for me to bring up such a subject at that time. So it didn't. He died on the table. That's right. That was 30-something years ago. When I was preparing the sermon this week, that burned in my memory. Does your faith need a little exercise? So, with that in mind, let's read the... I read from this because it's got a better font than my Bible. No wisecracks, please. All right. This is from the New American Standard. This is the faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews 11, the roll call of faith. Now, faith, get these, particularly zero in on verse 1 and verse 6. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. Kind of makes the Word of God important there, doesn't it? So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. We'll come back to that in just a minute. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he's dead, he still speaks. Another example, Enoch, one of the guys that never died. He went to heaven and he didn't die. Enoch was taken up so he would not see death. He was not found because God took him up. Who else did that happen to in the Bible, by the way? Elijah, taking up fiery chariot. For he obtained a witness that before his being taken up, he was what? Pleasing to God. Without faith, and I love this verse, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and literally, that is the translation, that is the literal translation from the original language, that he is. He is. I prefer New American Standard translation on this. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Okay. So what do we got here? Does your faith need some exercise? Let's look at the definition of faith first by these verses. Faith is the guarantee of what you hope for. Remember what the verse said? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the guarantee of what you hope for. In other words, by faith, you're looking at, well, this is what I'm hoping for. And by faith, you can see it as a guarantee. It's kind of like second coming of Jesus. That's why the New Testament is called the blessed hope. Hope in the Bible is not a maybe word. That's a definition that that we in the West have given it. It's not maybe. It's a sure thing. Because when God speaks it, that's why I said that about the Word, how important the foundation of the earth is on His Word. Because how did He create the earth? He spoke it into existence. He speaks it into existence. And that's why the Pharaoh, when you remember Yul Brynner in Ten Commandments, how many times did they say, so let it be written, so let it be? You see, he was mocking God because they worshiped the Pharaoh as a god. And he was mocking God in that statement. That makes sense to you? Drawing it together here? Okay. So second definition of faith that's here. It's the inner conviction of what you can't see. I can't see it. But I know that it's going to happen. Guarantee what you hope for. Inner conviction of what you can't see. So, let me tell you a story. Audrey and I got married. She was 18, I was 21. We moved to Texas. We went on our honeymoon, married on Friday night, July 30th, 1976. Well, what's the message? My ADD's kicking in. Thank you, John. Did you hear that, John? It might be this tooth. I asked my dentist. I told him it was picking up a radio signal, and he said he couldn't kill it, but he could change the channel if I wanted to. Where was I? Oh, Audrey and I got married. We left for our honeymoon. Spent the first night over in at Hilton Head, Palmetto Dunes, and then went to the mountains. Came back the next Friday. Had a wonderful week together. And that Monday, Audrey and me and her twin sister and her husband, who was also going to the same seminary, we all left together on a great adventure. I had $600 in my pocket. A wealthy man. Thought I was, man, I'm rich beyond measure. I'd never crossed the Mississippi River before, the first time. We went out there with no job and no place to live, and we're going to school. And we were on a waiting list for a place to live, but we got out there and we had to stay in another friend's apartment that was visiting family at home. So we camped out there for a while. I want you to know that was a step of faith. You talk about exercising your faith. We know where we're going to get a job. I mean, and I know some of you think, well, you're just young and stupid. Well, be that as it may, it was a step of faith. It's a step of faith. And God opened the doors. We believe that we had a guarantee of what we hoped for. That God, the same God that called us to ministry. You know, I told her when I asked her to marry me, I said, you know, I don't know where we're going to be. I don't know where we're going to serve. I don't know where God's going to call us. And it's going to be for a lifetime. I want to know, this is what you're signing up for. Because God called me before I met her. And I want her to know. I thought it was fair to her. She knew that this is what it was going to look like. It might be here, might be overseas. It might be all the above. Still kind of like that. She had one stipulation. She said, I'm willing as long as you take me with you everywhere you go. And she's fulfilled that to the letter. Guarantee what you hope for. Inner conviction of what you couldn't see. We couldn't see the fact we were going to get jobs and the jobs that we got and how it worked out. I figured out My first salary, I was going to school full time. I was working 20 hours a week, and I made a gross $33 a week. $1.65 an hour. Her job was $1.70. She was getting the big bucks. And she worked about 50 hours a week. That's what we lived off of. And God provided, and He stretched everything. It was a walk of faith. Every week, go to the grocery store, and as I think about the guarantee of what you hope for, that God's going to be there with you, that He is going to provide what you need. And He did. He did for us. And then, after about a year and a half, God got me another job. I got on staff at a church. They said, hey, here's what we're going to pay you, and you're going to work full time, which means I was going to school full time. So, hey, when we moved out there, I thought, well, God's going to, He's going to let me be preaching in a church, and and none of that worked out. And I was disappointed. But then He opened up the staff position, which I got to do all of it, preaching with people. It was wonderful. And they said, make your own schedule. And I did. And we were being paid twice what she and I were making together before that. She was able to start college. God did more than I had even hoped for. We were convinced He would provide for us. Can't tell you how many times we had a bill. I remember one time I got a bill from the IRS. I owed $150. The next day, and we put, Lord, how are we going to pay $150? It might as well have been $10,000 at that time. We didn't have that kind of money. Bang. Next day, I get a check in the mail. How much? $150. All right. Definition of faith. Guarantee of what you hope for. Inner conviction, what you can't see. All right, John, move on to the next. Now, here's how God views faith. He says in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So, you can't please God without faith. So, if we're not exercising our faith in some way, then we're not pleasing to God. There must be an exercise of our faith. Secondly, you must believe that He is. Now, you may think, well, that's just a sin. Of course I believe it. Got it. No, no, no. You got to look at the way the Jew would look at that, the way the Hebrew language would look at that, because that is the very essence of the meaning of His name, Yahweh, that He is. So we've got to, what He's saying there is we've got to come in agreement with who He is. Who He is in our lives and what that means and all of its implications. It's a simple little statement, but it's kind of a play on words. Because the one who is and ever shall be, that's the one we're coming in agreement with. All right, so third thing. And He says, and He rewards those who seek Him. How does He do that? He never rewards people outside of His value. Now think about that for a moment. If I'm a little kid and I'm asking my parent, hey, I want to have stuff that tastes good every day. Now what's going on in the kid's mind? Candy, ice cream, and for me, I'm putting my tongue over here, fireballs. I loved fireballs when I was a kid. You suck on one of those and follow it with a black cow. Did any of y'all ever have a black cow? Whew, man, suck on that all day long. But if God's going to reward you, if the parent's going to reward the child with something good that tastes good, what's that going to be? It's vegetable. I remember, I think I was 7 years old when squash hit my palate. And I loved it for the first time. I hated it before that because I didn't like what it looked like and all. But man, it was, bam, this tastes good. And then I discovered all these things that taste good. Now, I could have remained in the kid lockbox and just eating sugar all the time, or discover all these other things, like a medium rare ribeye. Oh, son. Or shrimp fried rice, Masako Lindholt. Or shrimp and crab cheesy au gratin, Beverly Reynolds. Whew. All right. So when He rewards you, and He does reward us, He's going to reward you according to His nature. What He knows you're really going to like if you'll just engage with Him. Now, sometimes He'll let you gorge yourself on stuff. I did it last week. I was hungry, and there's a little thing of salted peanuts sitting on our counter, and I just kept eating them and kept eating on an empty stomach. And what does that produce for you? A stomach ache. Whew. So you can't please God without faith. You got to believe who He is and that He really wants to reward you. But that reward comes from seeking Him. You got to knock on some more doors. All right, John, lastly. Excuse me, next slide. The faith transaction. You got the believer. I want you to see this. You got the believer. You got the object of his belief over here. And then you got the real-time transaction. Now, think about this for a moment. Does it matter what you believe in? Does it? People say all the time, oh, it really doesn't matter what you believe in, just that you believe. Just that you believe. You know, I'm crossing a little creek out in Georgetown back when I was a kid. There was a back on the backside of the Hall Brothers property, back there on the backside of Georgetown, there was one of those canals that they had done. That's where it gets its name. They tried to grow rice back there. Rice Hope and Rice Mill and all this out there. They were hoping to grow rice out there. One of the canals out there, we were going camping out there in the wintertime. There's a log across the canal. So what does Dusty do? I've got on these rubber boots and to protect me from the water. And so I'm going across this slick log. And what happened? Oh, man, I walked on water. I felt that's right. It was for about that long, because now I am. It is 30 degrees outside, and I'm soaking wet. I put my trust in an ability that was unfounded. Right? I couldn't walk across that log with slick shoes. Some of us have had our ladder up against the wrong wall. Does it matter which wall you put your ladder up? Does it matter which bank you put your money in? Does it matter which country where you stand up and say, I love Jesus? James Barnes, what happens when you stand up in the Lagos airport and go, snap, 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 snap? You could do that all day long out in airports. But what do they do to you in Lagos, son? Man, he became a pariah. It looked like the Red Sea parted. Everybody just went, whew, he's on his own now. Yes, brother, but we'll pray for you. And the Muslims are over here in the corner, and they're doing all their stuff over here in the corner. And the guys with the AK-47 have him in hand and his camera. Well, God answered our prayers, released him and the camera. They didn't confiscate the camera. It matters. The object of your belief matters. So when we're talking about we're believing, we're throwing our faith, and that really means what we're talking about, because we're releasing everything to Him. It matters, doesn't it? Is He able to do what He says He'll do? That's the real-time transaction. That's what He's calling on us every day. Are we running from that transaction. Last thing, our response. So, before I tell you about this, let's go to the two illustrations that were in the scriptural passage. Cain and Abel. Remember Cain and Abel? We read about them. First two offspring of Adam and Eve, as far as we know. Cain offers a sacrifice from his produce of the land, and Abel offers the firstborn, Scripture says, the firstborn of his flock. God honored Abel's sacrifice, and to Cain he said, we need a sidebar here. We need to talk. He said, Cain, your sacrifice and your heart are wrong. Both are wrong. Now, either could have been wrong and it would still been wrong, but both are wrong. And he said, and the Lord says to Cain, even now, this fourth chapter of Genesis, even now sin is crouching at the door. It's ready to devour you. What are you going to do? And what does Cain say? Pardon the French, but damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I'm not changing. Even after God spoke to him, said, I'm going to do it my way. And what issues from this event? Cain commits the first murder. First murder. So he wasn't willing to trust God. Yet his brother Abel. So there you have a set of brothers. One who's trusting God, one who's not. Then, for Enoch. The scripture says he walked with God and was not. By the way, who was Enoch's little boy? Anybody know? Oldest guy recorded in scripture. Methuselah. Methuselah. Whole other sermon about that. But he walked with God and was not, and it was because of his trust. The writer of the Hebrews says, his trust in the Lord. God took him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You're serving God with such faith and trust that all of a sudden your next step, you step from here and your next step is right into heaven. That's what it was. It's our response to all this today. Is this your first time? Maybe you've been kicking the tires for a long time. Maybe it's time for you to realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You don't need more knowledge. You got all you need. He's a Savior. He died on the cross in your place. He rose on the third day. He ascended back to the Father. And one day He's coming again for all those who've trusted Him with their faith, who have thrown their faith on Him. That's what the word there for belief, for faith in the New Testament, it's all one word. Pistuo means to throw your total reliance upon Him. And that's what we do with Jesus. We give Him our lives. Have you cut that deal yet? Today's the day. Secondly, are you stale? Maybe cut that deal a long time ago, but man, it's been a while since you exercised your faith. Maybe it's just easier to withdraw. Maybe it's just easier to talk about your faith and never have to exercise it. Actually have to do something with your faith that means something. Maybe you've been capitulating at work. Maybe there are times God's calling on you to say something, to do something, but more than that, to be something. Who you are. You've got to be who you are. You can't lie. God doesn't bless that. You say, well, Pastor, what does that look like? Well, is your boss asking you to do something that's illegal or evil? What's the one word answer you have for that? No! But what's the promise that He makes those of us who diligently seek Him, who have followed Him? He says He will reward. So what does that mean? If God shuts that door, what does that mean He's going to do? He's going to open another. Now what that process, it looks like in many different ways. But God's in control. Are you stale? Some of us have known Jesus for a long time. Many of us have. When's the last time that you actually were thinking about somebody else? What is your life? How are you organizing your life? Is it so that you can share Christ with others? Number three, do you want more? Please don't understand me today. I'm not making a statement. I don't think you get more of the Lord. No, sir. When He comes and you get all of Him. That isn't the question. Here's the question. Does He have all of us? There's a question. He want more. 1 Corinthians 14, right after, you know, he's done this polemic on spiritual gifts in 12, and then right in the middle of 12 and 14 is 1 Corinthians 13, which we call the love chapter. And I mean, he makes some great statements there. Unless you know, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm but a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So even though there's great things that can happen in my life, the spiritual highs that can happen, if it's not baptized in love, it's nothing. But then, at the end of that, he comes on around to 14, to the beginning of 14, and he says, pray that you get more spiritual gifts, and especially that you prophesy. You want more? You want God to unveil more? Let me ask you, has there been a lack on God's part? Has He withheld anything from you that you have opened yourself to? Can I get a witness on that? Anything? No, sir. Not His style. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. It's funny how we didn't see people healed until we started praying for people to be healed. Funny how that works. It's funny that you don't see people coming to Christ until we're willing to put ourselves on the line. Then we see it. Do you want more? I know for some of you, you know, you say, I don't want to get spooky and all that stuff. And I'm not talking about spooky. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus just having more of me and you and more of our church. It's His church. So, there you go. It's time. It's time to exercise your faith. What's God calling on you to do? What steps is He calling you to take? What's He saying? What's He saying to you? We're going to open the altar. Have some quiet music. Rick and I are going to be up here. Gina and Audrey will be here to pray with you. God moves you to come and respond in some way to these questions today. It's open to you. Lord, thank you for hearing and answering our prayers today. Thank you that you are present here, Holy Spirit. We ask you, come now. Come. Let's experience your power. Experience what you want to do in our lives right now. We open this time. Lord, I know you've been busting my chops with this message this week. So, Lord, I ask you for some others to share the joy with me. The altar's open. How many of you have someone in your life right now that is really in trouble? All right? So keep your hands up. But people around these people right now, just kind of put your hand on those people right now. We're going to pray for these people that are in trouble. All right? And we're praying this prayer in faith, right? We're exercising our faith, right? We believe God can do this, right? That He can come and work in their lives. We want to hear the testimonies, too. Lord, right now, we ask you. We don't know what any of these problems are, but we're asking you to come with your power and with your strength and do these great things that these folks need in their lives right now. And Lord, as we pray this prayer, we are putting ourselves at your disposal and saying, Lord, use us in the process, if it be your will. Do we agree? If you agree, let's say amen. Amen. All right. We send you out in the name of Jesus.